Peace, like a river, flows through my soul. I've been forgiven, cleansed, and made whole. Peace, gently flowing, sweet and divine, gives the assurance Jesus is mine. Peace, perfect peace, in this dark world of sin, the blood of Jesus whispers peace within. Peace, perfect peace, by thronging duties pressed, to do the will of Jesus, this is rest. Peace, perfect peace, with sorrows surging round, on Jesus' bosom naught but calm is found. You know, Paul wrote 13 epistles. And at every single one, he begins it with his trademark greeting, grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, or something very similar. Other epistles by Peter, John, also begin with something very similar, grace and peace. I'm going to talk about peace today. And what I see from this example of Paul and other writers beginning their epistles with a wish of peace to the recipients of the letter is that peace is a priority. Consider this, 1 Corinthians 7. Verse 15 says, God has called us to peace. What is a calling? I'm going to make this kind of an interactive lesson because it makes it a little more, I don't know, makes it hit home a little more. So what is a calling? What comes to mind when you hear the word calling?
Purpose.
Anything else?
Desire.
So purpose and desire, a calling, something you pursue, right? Purpose, desire. It's something that someone has in store for you, right? I'm calling you to do this. That's right, I'm calling you to spend 2 hours taping heat runs so that your shoulders are screaming. It's something they have in store for you, right? We are called to peace. It gives us purpose. It is our desire. And it is what God has in store for us. Isn't that kind of neat? Colossians 3, verse 15. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called. There it is again. It's ruling in your hearts. In other words, it has the authority. It's the one that dictates the actions. Peace, ruling in your hearts. Peace is a priority. First Peter 3, verses 10 through 11 says, or at least sends the message, I'm paraphrasing here, but whoever wishes to love life and see good days must seek peace and pursue it. Wishing to love life, see good days, this is everybody's high priority, right? Whether you're a Christian or not, especially if you're not a Christian, honestly, make the most of your life. You only live once. Love life, see good days. This is something that we really care about. So, that being the case, seek peace and pursue it. Otherwise, you're not going to get it. All right. I want to talk about 3 things in regards to peace. First of all, what is peace? Secondly, what gets in between you and perfect peace? And third, what are some practical ways to maintain a life of peace? Okay. So first of all, what is peace? What are some words that come to mind when you think of peace?
Tranquility.
What's that?
Tranquility.
It's kind of a synonym. Comfort.
Calmness.
Is that what you said, Greg? Yeah, obviously.
Humility.
Humility.
Quiet.
Quiet. Safety.
Contentment.
Contentment. We could probably go on and on, couldn't we? Well, the Greek and Hebrew definitions use words very similar to the ones you guys used. Prosperity, rest, safety, quietness. And then it adds the two phrases, all is well, and this one's interesting, set at one again. Peace? Set at one again? That's going to come up again later on, so keep that in mind. And what I get from this is, does any of the things you guys mentioned come naturally to you? Quietness? Rest? Or are we more inclined to be busy and run around until we go crazy? Prosperity? Safety? Or are we more inclined to danger and blowing everything we have for a little bit of nothing? What I get from this is a unique attribute, okay? This is not something that comes naturally because, number one,
it's an attribute of God.
I forgot how to make a G there for a second. Multiple times in the word. And here's just three examples, Philippians 4, 9, Romans 15, 33, and Romans 16, verse 20. God is given the title, the God of peace. The God of peace. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33 says, God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. He's the author of peace. The God of peace, the author of peace. It's an attribute of His. Number two. Peace is a gift from God. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 16 says, May the Lord of peace himself, there it is again, give you peace always in every way. I love that passage. It's so infallible. You just can't help but feel confident. And notice how this is a personal interaction, God giving us this peace. It says, May the Lord of peace himself give you peace always in every way. It's personal. What are the first three fruits of the Spirit? First is love. Second is, third is peace. It's a fruit of the Spirit. What is the Spirit? He's a gift from God. And what does the Spirit give us? But peace. It's a gift from a gift. Feel blessed? John 14, verse 27, Jesus tells his disciples, Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. This is something really special, right? Because it's not as the world gives, does Jesus give. But he gives us an attribute of himself. He is the God of peace. He's giving it to us personally, himself. And it's not like the world. It's something beyond. Thirdly, peace begins with cleansing. What's the song I just quoted? I've been forgiven, cleansed, and made whole. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 14 through 15. Ephesians 2, 14 through 15. Speaking of Jesus, it says, For he himself is our peace, who has made both one. Remember that definition? Set at one again? He has made both one, and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity that is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace. Peace is hardwired with unity. You ever thought about it that way before? Those of you who are married, are you at peace when you are united, and are you not at peace when you're not united? Yeah. What about us with God? There was enmity that was separating us. Jesus abolished it by his sacrifice, cleansing us from the sins, thus making peace. End quote. You have to be close to the giver to obtain the gift. God is the giver, and us being close to him and united with him is how we obtain peace. The enmity had to be abolished, and Jesus did it. Peace begins with cleansing. Colossians 1, verse 20. He has made peace through the blood of his cross. Psalm 55, verse 18. He has redeemed my soul in peace from the battle that was against me. For there were many against me. Ever feel like there's many against you? Of course. Yeah. You know who wrote that? It was David. You know his story? Years and years and years of being chased by the two biggest nations around, Philistines and Saul. But he redeemed his soul in peace. If he can feel at peace, I can feel at peace. Because we serve the same God, the same giver of peace. What about the armor of God? Right? In Ephesians chapter 6. And it goes through, and the second last thing it lists, actually, it might be the third last. He says in verse 15, shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. What is gospel? What does it mean? Good news. What is the good news? The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's what we have to obey in 1 Thessalonians to be saved. Our cleansing. That's how we are cleansed. Shod it on your feet, the preparation of the gospel of peace. And notice, which this is what I find really interesting, what is armor? When do you use it? In battle. And what's one of the things but peace? Peace in the midst of a continual battle, right? Our life is a continual battle. And yet, we are given it on our feet. I'll talk about this a little more later. But just keep in mind that we have peace in the midst of the continual battle. God is the God of peace. He is the source of peace. And he's the giver of peace. I want to take a minute and talk about the phrase perfect peace. All right, because I mentioned it in that song, in my introduction. Isaiah 26, verse 3. I love this verse. You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. Back to the armor of God. I don't think it's a coincidence that peace is likened to the Roman footwear of the time, because those were the guys that were in charge at the time as the Romans. So when he's talking about the armor, this is more than likely what he's talking about. He says, shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. I mentioned this before, so this might be kind of a rerun for you guys. But the Roman footwear was really extensive. It would strap all the way up to your knee. It had cleats on the bottom of it so that you're not going to slip on the bloody battlefield. These guys went from one end of the known world to the other. They've seen any and every terrain, from forest to mountains to swamps to sandy beaches. They've been there and done that, and their footwear was good for it all. And guess where they're going without their footwear? Nowhere. Good luck surviving as an army, as a soldier, without your footwear. And that's what peace is to us. It's our all-terrain attribute. It doesn't fail. It's perfect because it's an attribute of God. Remember how he is the God of peace? Do you think any attribute of God is imperfect? Remember how he is the giver of peace? Well, James 1 verse 17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation nor shadow of turning. Psalm 119 verse 165 says, great peace have those who love your law, and nothing causes them to stumble. Remember how Colossians 3:15 says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts? Well, when it's ruling in your heart, and you can probably think of times where, man, that peace was really ruling within me. Were you stumbling at that time? No. How about when you do stumble? Think about a time that you stumbled. Was peace ruling in your heart? No. What about Psalm 72, verse 7? I love this. In his days the righteous shall flourish, and abundance of peace, until the moon is no more. Until the moon is no more. That's how long peace lasts. Peace, perfect peace. It's true. It is perfect. All right. What gets between you and your perfect peace? Well, what?
Pride.
Fighting with yourself.
Trusting self instead of God.
Trusting self instead of God.
The thing I'd put as a priority.
Exactly. The devil. That's the root of it all, isn't it? Yeah, for myself, I was kind of along the same lines as Justin. My pursuits, right? That's what gets in between me and my perfect peace. Actually, God's perfect peace. It's my pursuits, my priorities. The things that Satan puts in front of me to lure me away. Trusting in myself rather than trusting in God. Fighting with myself. All those things you guys said. And you know what that really makes me think of? Matthew 13, verse 22, Jesus' parable of the sower. He who received seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. Cares and deceit. Those two things get in between me and my peace. 1 Peter 5, verse 7 says, cast all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Well, there went cares. How about deceit? Galatians 6, 7, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. And in addition to that, James 3, 18 says, the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. There went deceit too. Something you guys didn't mention, but was implied because it's so natural for us, is fear. What are you afraid of? Losing control. That pretty much wraps it up, doesn't it? Yeah.
Failure.
Me too. Unknown. That's a big one for me. I hate the unknown. I already mentioned John chapter 14, verse 27. Jesus himself, the Lord of Lords, the God of peace, said, my peace I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Joshua 1, 9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed. Why? For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. This same God is the God of peace. And in John chapter 16, Jesus spends a lot of time talking very seriously with his disciples. He tells them about how difficult their lives are soon to become. He tells them about the Holy Spirit that he's going to give them to guide them to all truth. He talks about how they're going to be full of sorrow in a short time, but it's going to turn to joy because the Father himself loves them. Does that sound familiar? Himself. And then in verse 33 of John chapter 16, he says, "These things I have spoken to you," in other words, "I just told you this, because in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world." That just took away everything on this earth, because he's overcome. In him we have peace. So branching off of that, what are some practical ways that we can maintain a life of peace? Let's turn to Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 9. I'm going to be coming back to this frequently, so if you've got a marker in your Bible, I'd put it there, leave a finger in it, something. Philippians 4, verses 4 through 9. "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you." What I see throughout this passage, really throughout the Bible, is step one is go to the giver, right? Go to the giver. Rejoice in the Lord. The Lord is at hand. That's your motivation for being gentle. Be anxious for nothing, but make your requests known to God. The peace of God will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Whatever things are true and noble and just, etc., all these sound like something that would come from God, that he is the source of. "These do, and the God of peace will be with you." Over and over again, go to the giver. But the first thing we got to do is slow down. Right. One of the definitions of peace is rest. Slow down. You can't be at peace if you're running around like crazy. I understand we've got lives. We've got things to do. We've got occupations. We've got people to provide for, of course. But take time. Take time throughout the day. I've known from experience, at work especially, that when you go running around and try to have six things going at once and try to do it really quickly, that's when you start messing up. That's when you forget to tighten the drip leg and you have to go back at 5 o'clock and hope that you don't explode when you turn the light on. Slow down. Psalm 46:10, super popular. Unfortunately, it's worn out. "Be still and know that I am God." I love this story. Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 41. Keep a finger in Philippians. Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 41. On that same day when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side." Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was. And other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, "Who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him?" I can tell you, it's the God of peace. Maybe try, if you ever feel stressed and anxious about various things, think of Jesus saying, "Peace, be still." A big one that I see, if you want to turn back to Philippians 4, a big one I see is prayer. This is your communion with the giver of peace. Verses 6 and 7. "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Notice that verse 7 is a result of verse 6. The peace of God will guard your hearts and minds because of verse 6. You're making everything known to God in prayer and supplication. Prayer is acknowledging that you need God. Otherwise, why would you pray? You have it yourself. You're fine. Sometimes we fool ourselves into thinking that, and that's why we don't pray enough. A peaceful, peaceful mind is a trusting mind, like Derek said. Isaiah 26:3, I already read this, "But you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you." Peaceful mind is a trusting mind. So practical suggestions: pray when you get a chance. It doesn't have to be long. It doesn't have to be elaborate. It doesn't have to be out loud. You don't have to be kneeling. You can be up there taping heat runs and just think about some things you're thankful for and thank Him. You can take a few minutes before you go to sleep and kneel by the bed and pray to your Savior. You can get up a little earlier, actually get up on time, when your alarm goes off, instead of hitting the snooze button 6 times, and take a minute and pray to the source of life who gave you another day. Any others you guys think of? Driving. Good point. You spend a lot of time in work vans. Work vans, myself included, not a whole lot. I stay in Newton quite a bit. This is something I really admire about you, Maggie. You seem like you really in communion with God a lot. So I just want to tell you that. Number 2 is the Word. Actually, number 4, sorry. My notes are different than I did it up here, I guess. The Word is the package that God's gift of peace comes in. Right? This package is closed. This package is opened. How are you going to get the gift if it's closed? Psalm 85, verse 8. "I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for He will speak peace to His people and His saints." Psalm 119, 165. I already read this. "Great peace have those who love your law, and nothing causes them to stumble." Colossians 3, 15 and 16. I read this one too. "Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, I don't think it's a coincidence those are right together. So practical suggestions? This kind of goes with the getting up on time. Read a chapter. Before you go to bed, read a chapter. On lunch break, read a chapter. Read a verse. Keep it in your mind, maybe. Charity and I are reading together, reading the same thing each night. I hope that once we're married, we can do it literally together. Talk about uniting, right? Set at one again. Anything else you guys think of? Pretty well sums it up, doesn't it? The third thing I see here, the fifth thing, is meditation. Verse 8. Whatever things are true and noble and just and pure and lovely and of good report, if there's anything of virtue or praiseworthy, meditate on these things. That's a pretty extensive list. Sometimes I wonder why he made it so big, because we lose our attention, right? But all these things, like peace, are attributes of God. Things that come from God. They're all perfect because of God. Meditate on these things. Romans 8, verse 6. To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Set your mind on things above, not on the things of the earth. So what is peace? And is it a priority? Absolutely. What a wonderful life when it's full of peace. Peace is an attribute of God. It is a gift of God. And it begins with cleansing. Peace is perfect because it's an attribute of God. And you can have peace regardless of your circumstances. Think about David. Think about Jesus. Peace isn't limited by your circumstances. What gets between you and your perfect peace? The thorns, fear, the unknown, the lack of control. But some practical ways to maintain our life of peace is, first and foremost, go to the giver. It's to slow down. Take time. It's to pray to the giver. Be in communion with your Savior. Hear his words and love them. Open the package so you can receive the gift. And meditate on his word so that you're spiritually minded to be full of peace. Of course, I already said that peace comes from God and from your cleansing with him. And you have no hope of peace, true peace, if you don't have him. And so we invite you to accept him as we stand and sing.